Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, it's Stu. If you like this podcast, and why wouldn't you like this podcast? It's the biggest podcast in the world. We're bigger than Oprah. Then please subscribe, rate, 5 stars only. You leave 4, we'll reject it. Is that right, Stanzik?
That's right.
Reject it. 5 stars only. Leave a review, and most importantly, tell your friends, everyone. Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Before we get to today's episode, I want to tell you about another phenomenal ESPN podcast, Marty Smith's America. This week, find out if Marty survived New Orleans and Bourbon Street. You can download and subscribe to Marty Smith's America wherever you get your podcast. Maybe one day he'll invite me on that f***ing podcast. Stupidity! All right, let's take a minute here for Upstart. Between hitting the gym, eating cleaner, or learning a new skill, there's a lot of ways we can better ourselves in the new year, but I can't think of one that's more important than starting the year off tackling high-interest credit card debt. My friends at Upstart.com are here to help. Upstart is the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter rates to help you pay off high-interest rate credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. How about that? It's not all about your credit score. It's about your history. It's about your education, about your job history. That's why I love Upstart. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. That's very important. Will not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment. Do it with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/Stu to find how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. It will not affect your credit score. That's upstart.com/Stu.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. Bigger than Oprah. Thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Do all that good stuff for me because you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. Big sports week, national championship game, controversy in baseball, NFL playoffs are upon us. We're not going to talk about the NFL playoffs, but we are going to talk about the other two. Stanzik, you never do this. You never do this. Gojo is readily available to us. He does a podcast with us once a month with the Weekend Observation guys, Mikey C, Mikey A, all the guys. He's always on this podcast. I can get him whatever I want. But you rarely do this, Stanzik, where you're like, we have to get Gojo on this week. What happened with Gojo? What's going on with Gojo?
So I'm just sitting at work today, and I see on social media there is a picture of Mike Golic Jr., and it's one of those like caption contest situations where someone posted the picture, and Gojo looks ridiculous. But he is in the midst of a beignet eating contest, and right, the only other person you can see in the picture right next to him, also in the competition, Joey Chestnut.
Of course. I mean, I have to get to this picture. Hold on. Do you want me to see this picture?
Yes. Yes, you need to see this picture. I think Golic Jr. himself was interacting with it, which would help you find it, because okay, I'm not exactly sure who sent it. I'm pulling it up now myself.
I am too. Hold on.
Tweets and replies.
So I just want to tell you something as we're looking this up. I texted Gojo to come on the podcast today. You started a group text, and I knew what you were doing.
Of course. Right?
You were throwing some chum in the water.
Okay? Yes.
Yes. And I knew, okay, so Stanzik sent that little peek behind the curtain here, Stupidity. he sent out a text to me and Golic Jr. at around 1:15 today. And today is Tuesday, the day after the national championship game that was played in New Orleans last night. And he sends out that Gojo is tired. Like he is, I'm not certain he has slept at all. You sent out a text saying Joey Chestnut beignets eating contest. That's a story I need to hear. And I knew that was my cue to go get Gojo.
I sent out the bat signal and you basically were like, Gojo, we need you on Stupidity. He knew what I was doing too. There's no way I would send a group text of the three of us just to hear this story if I didn't want it on the podcast.
Okay. And so what I'm telling you is this is the state. I've been there. Lord knows. Like early on in this business, you do whatever the hell it is you have to do. You know that stands it, right?
Oh yeah. Gold Jr. did Mina's Daily podcast this morning at like 5:30 a.m.
Oh my God. I was watching him on ESPN2 this morning and I texted him. I could see right through you. Like he looked like a ghost. I mean,
he looks like something in this picture too. Have you pulled it up yet?
Yeah, but here's what I was telling you. Gojo knows he needs to do anything and everything early on in radio, and he has taken that advice and he has run with it. And I am proud of Mike Golic Jr. because listen, these are the stretches you go through where at Stanzik, my larger point is I texted Gojo to come on. His response was, "What day is it?"
We're getting him at a good time.
And I knew you were on to something right then and there.
Yeah.
All right, I have the picture here. Right. He said, it's on Gojo's Twitter feed at mgolikjr57. It's too wordy, the whole Twitter name, the handle.
It's I know. It's just me, Gojo.
There's too many letters, combinations of letters, numbers, capitalized, not capitalized. Very confusing. At mgolikjr57. That's a terrible picture.
It's an awesome picture.
It is. By terrible, I mean awesome.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
terrifying if you look at Gojo's eyes.
Yes. Yes. He looks like he's on crack.
Which is funny because my favorite caption is by Ryan McGee, co-host of Marty and McGee. Yeah. You can find him regularly on Marty Smith's America's podcast, who writes in all caps for this caption contest, "Look at my eyes. Are we sure this is powdered sugar?"
Get McGee on the podcast. So you want to have Gojo on just to revisit the beignet eating contest he had with Joey Chestnut, right?
I want to hear everything. I don't know how it happened. My larger point is...
Oh, I can tell you how it happened. I can tell you how it happened. Someone put money in Gojo's pocket to do that. I mean, and they better have.
My point would be rarely in life do you get to go mano a mano against the greatest of all time.
Right.
And
right.
He went literally... He's sitting right next to Chestnut and they're eating.
That's pretty incredible. What would be like a media example of that? It's like if they had an open seat on First Take and you had to come in and debate with Stephen A. Smith.
Correct.
You know?
Yes.
Right. Like you're not going to win.
No. You got no shot. But you live to tell the story. And that's what we want from Gojo.
Right. Or you get paid to tell the story.
That too, but we're not paying him.
Yeah, but you know Gojo was getting paid. Like that had to be one of those.
You know what? With him, I could see him thinking that the beignets were payment enough.
Yeah, maybe. I'm telling you, he got money. Like, Super Bowl's coming down to Miami, and people are asking me left and right, moderate this, host this party, we'll pay you this, pay you that. And it's absurd. And I would say yes to most of them if Adam Schefter hasn't undercut the entire market. Stupidity!
All right, Stu, we have Gojo, who's just left eating more beignets.
Get the f*** out of here.
I shit you not, I'm walking out of Café Du Monde right now, Stu guy. My life is incredible.
What's the matter with you, though? How do you keep eating beignets? I don't understand.
I woke up this morning, and I kid you not, I was exchanging texts with someone, and I go, I have a problem, right? Because I woke up, and the first thing I thought was, yeah, I could use a few more of those. That'd be better for my day.
I got to tell you, man, it is rare because you appear on the podcast once a month with the Weekend Observations crew, with Mikey A and Mikey C and all the guys, and you're readily available to us, and we appreciate that. But it is rare that Stanzik says, we have to get Gojo on. I had no idea what had happened. I didn't know that you were part of a beignet eating contest with Joey Chestnut. But Stanzik, explain yourself, because I'm telling you, Gojo, he has never done this before where he said, hey, we have to get Mike Golic Jr. on. Like Like, he'd rather have you on the podcast this week than Patrick Mahomes. Am I wrong, Stanza?
You aren't. This is my kind of content, and I don't think it needs much explanation. I saw a picture with Golic looking like a crazy person, eating a beignet, and next to him was Joey Chestnut, and I needed details, and I need them right now.
Listen, it's understandable, and it was one of those things that I always say, like, luck is just preparation meeting opportunity. And so I've prepared my whole life as a fat person for the last 30 years for the opportunity to meet my hero. And so actually, I got to link up with Joey last year at the college football playoff, got to take pictures with the mustard belt that he obviously won for consuming a ton of hot dogs, all that stuff. And so I get an ask, and someone at ESPN is helping put this together. It was like at the ESPN VIP tailgate. And they asked me, they were like nervous to ask me, like, hey, I need a favor. Would you be willing to do an eating contest against Joey Chestnut? It's beignets. Like, they hadn't just given me the greatest gift my life has ever known. The problem is it sounds good until you get up there. And, like, this is the equivalent of, like, dropping Stu Gatz in the middle of an NFL football game and asking him to go out there and block Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
Like, I sat there and was a deer in headlights, Stu Gatz. Like, we get up to the start of this thing, and there's, like, 90 beignets in front of all of us, me, Joey, and some local competitive eater around here. And all of a sudden, I just see both of them start. We have like four water bottles, and they just start unscrewing all the tops. And I have no idea what I'm doing, so I just start following their lead. It's literally monkey see, monkey do of me petrified watching Joey like stretching and moving his mouth around. And I realize, oh my God, I'm about to get railroaded by a pro athlete.
The goat.
Scary as shit.
The goat, right. We were saying it's like having, you know, like an open seat at First Take and you have to walk it off the street and debate with Stephen A. Smith. There's no chance you're winning, Gojo.
No, and you realize, like, it's like drowning because as I'm going on, I'm simultaneously trying not to throw up, realizing that I'm just shoving more of them in my mouth and not swallowing because the whole time I'm gawking, watching Joey ball three up at a time, grease them with a little bit of water because we all agreed beforehand the water was in play if you wanted to bathe them down, because the one bit of advice I got from the local guy who had obviously done this a little more, Joey had not eaten them professionally in competition and wanted to make that abundantly clear before he baptized us in his unholy fire. The guy said, whatever you do, don't inhale when you eat this, because if you take a bunch of powdered sugar down the wrong pipe, you're going to puke and you're going to get disqualified. And so now I'm nervous about doing that. And then again, I'm just sitting there watching the best in the world do his thing. Like, it was sitting next to Picasso. It was unreal. And so I was proud that I somehow managed to eat 14 in the 4 minutes that we were doing while Joey ate 78. And I honestly think they shortchanged him by like 10.
78 to 14. And did you just compare Joey Chestnut to Picasso?
It was. I honestly think he's better at what he does.
I think you're right. I mean, who was Picasso's fiercest competitor, huh? Flembrandt?
Honestly, have they made a 30 for 30 for Picasso yet? I will wait.
No, but I did make one for Colin Cowherd's 0-10 NFL playoff summit. Inexplicably, I weave that into the podcast.
Stupidity.
Stupidity. So wait a second. We'll get you out of here. Mike, what day of the week is it?
You think I have any idea, Stu Gatz? I was like, why is Stu Gatz calling me on a Sunday morning? And then I realized, I think it's Tuesday. Like, I have no idea, Stu Gatz. I got here and went out the first night we got here on Bourbon Street instinctively. You know, I had, air quotes, had to be here a day early so right. I could not do any work on Sunday and just somehow have a reason to wander around Bourbon Street. And I told someone, yeah, the first night I got here, I was like, Mike, that was 4 hours ago. It's 5 a.m. and you just went to bed. What are you talking about?
Wait, so did, by the way, those are the four most commonly used words at ESPN. I need a favor.
Yeah. Hey, listen, guys.
And I'm not going to pay you.
You know what?
You got paid?
I like to think they paid me in food for my soul, because now, and you know what, for whatever, the scariest part about it all, Stu Gatz, is I went in, again, wanted to do this, was a willing participant. I did all of this, and then because I failed the plan and only thought about, like, once they told me this, I was blind to everything else. I forgot to ask about any sort of transportation. I walked 30 minutes to the stadium, got over there, fully kicked his. I had to throw away the shirt that I had on going over there.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
before
God.
I went over and put on a suit and then gas bagged about college sports on the internet.
Oh, my. Oh, and no one provided, not even transportation. But you got beignets, so you're happy.
Oh, I was on cloud nine. I'm still literally buzzing because the amount of sugar in my system would kill most mortals.
All right. Stanzik might have one or two questions. I have a few more. We established what day of the week it is. Great. How many hours of sleep have you logged in, let's say, the last three nights combined?
I would say the last three nights combined were at like a solid 6.5, 7.
Okay. six and a half, seven total hours over the last three nights. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that sounds fair.
The night of the game, Monday night, how many hours?
Monday night, you know what? And like this one's sad. I didn't even get to go out after the game Monday night. I was doing a hit for the daily for Mina after the game.
Jesus.
Back in my hotel room and still managed to get like, I think, 2.5 hours after that because then me and Jason Fitz had to wake up to do Dad and Trey's job for them since we had actually stayed and watched the game and they had flown home.
Right, yeah. And I felt terrible for you this morning. You look like a ghost. I mean, it's right through you.
I was definitely more dead than alive today.
Right. Marcus Spears' breath, how was that? Like he seemed like he was having a good time last night.
It smells like all if you put all of the slushy machines at one of those daiquiri bars on Bourbon Street into one cup. He goes, I'm running off pure adrenaline. I said, Marcus, I know they serve adrenaline right next to the hand grenade thing in there. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Stanzik, are you interested in anything that transpired during the game, after the game, anything that happened last night?
Yeah, Gojo, I heard you with Mina this morning. You got to explain these indoor fireworks to me.
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. We were in the Superdome. LSU wins, and I already have a little bit of like post-championship PTSD from getting covered in loser confetti back when Alabama kicked our teeth in 2012. And so I already like to avoid that. And so I'm looking up and taking it in. I'm happy for bro. And I just start to hear these pops. And I look up and I'm like this has to be a fire hazard. By the way, just to let you guys know, there is a guy that is loosely my doppelganger right now, a lot more hair, wearing a dress, singing on the street next to me.
Put him on.
Get him on.
All right. He's in the middle of a song. I'll let you guys hear it.
Beautiful.
What's up, baby? Great. All right. Thank you so much. What Big Mama do on the street drag show? My name's Big Mama.
Big Mama.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was Big Mama, guys.
All right. Stanzik, next week, Big Mama on the podcast.
Okay? I'm on it.
I got a picture of me and Big Mama who was singing Black Sabbath for you guys that I will send along with
them.
Oh, my God, I love you. Did you just give him money?
No, of course not.
Okay, I was going to say, this trip is costing you money.
No, if I can't eat it, I'm not paying for it at this point. And me and my Big Mama don't know each other like that.
All right, did you see Booger McFarland or Ryan Clark, any of the guys, the LSU alum, did you see any of them out last night?
I didn't see them out, but I saw Ryan Clark at the game, so I don't know how familiar you guys are with this. But the LSU band has a bit of a reputation for playing this song called Neck that the student section remixes and says, you know, hey-o, suck that tiger dick.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, it's a lot. So
leave
get ready with the dump. Yeah. So the whole LSU student section is chanting this in the arena, and I look over, the band's going crazy, like, this is at the point of the game where LSU started to separate. So it's 70-30 LSU in the crowd. And I look over and everyone else is looking on the Jumbotron because Joe Burrow was on the bench and he was, you know, vibing along to the song and people were loving it. I looked over in front of the band and I see Ryan Clark with some random championship belt that he has acquired just absolutely losing his mind. And that was when I was probably the most jealous of anyone yesterday.
Oh, my God. I mean, Stanzik, you were right. This is the get. I mean,
I told you.
If you presented me with Patrick, any of the four quarterbacks starting this weekend, or Gojo, I'd take Gojo.
Or hey. Big Mama.
Next week, Big Mama. And I want the PR person who did not provide transportation for Gojo or money. Get him on, or her, whoever she is. Who was it, Gojo? Name names.
Not naming names, Sue Gatz. I was provided with the opportunity of a lifetime. They say don't meet your heroes. I got to eat with my hero.
All right. And by the way, I mean, Alabama has nothing on you compared to Joey Chestnut. I mean, what was the score, Stanzik?
I think Alabama beat you guys like 42-14.
Yeah, Chestnut beat you 78-14.
Chestnut was one of the more – I said it was the most athletic – dominant thing I saw the entire weekend, maybe the entire season.
That's amazing. All right, man. I love you. Thank you. Get some rest. Stanzik was right. You were the get this week, man.
I love you both. I'll see you when I get back from Big Mama's house.
Stupidity! Stu Gatz here. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people, but finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. You hear me? It's free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod, StuPod, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Stupidity! Stanzik, I've been telling you for a while now that I want to get Derek Dietrich on the podcast here. So I am not doing this because there is baseball controversy. I am doing this because Derek Dietrich is a guy. The last time I saw him, he was in our studio shirtless.
Oh, yes. Yes. That guy. I think he's like baseball's version of Gronk, I think.
Yeah, but he's not. Like, there's some substance underneath that beautiful tan. And so I think he'll be good on the baseball stuff, but I also think people will find him to be a really good dude. He's a free agent right now. He's only 30. He looks like he's 20. But I think people will find him to be a very interesting guy. He juggling is a hobby. That's a place we can go. He's a car enthusiast. So there are many places. And he is dating someone. He's not the best athlete in his own relationship. He is dating someone who's won a gold medal.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So, are you good with Dietrich here? Cause you think I'm bringing on Meathead, and I'm telling you, I'm bringing on someone much smarter than that. I'm not bringing on Gronk. Okay. That's not what I'm doing here.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? This podcast is called Stupidity. Let's just do it.
Okay. And he wants to give tanning tips. Stupidity.
Stu Dietrich is there.
Yo, you shirtless?
I am actually shirtless. Believe it or not, I'm putting in a subwoofer in my 30-year-old friend's Jeep Grand Cherokee like we're 18 again. That's the stuff I do in my days off.
Dietrich, the last time I saw you, Stanton, the last time I saw Derek Dietrich was in our studio shirtless.
Yeah, like what percentage of your day do you have a shirt on?
Let's see. Not when I wake up. Not usually when I'm in the gym. If I'm out on my bike, I don't have it on. Probably when I go to dinner, or definitely not in my apartment. I would say like
an hour a day.
Yeah, I'd say about an hour a day, 2 hours if we go for a long dinner.
Right, and those 2 hours are the worst f-ing 2 hours of your day, right, Dietrich?
Yeah, but that's why I got to get something good to eat, take my mind off of it.
Stanzik, if you had a body like Dietrich and a tan like Dietrich, and we'll get to that in just a second, you would not wear a shirt either. Trust me, okay?
Oh no, I believe it. I ran shirtless once and felt uncomfortable.
Right. I mean, Dietrich, how important, like, in this, like, if I had to write the top 5 most important things to Derek Dietrich, where does a good tan, where does that come in on the list?
Well, behind baseball and behind cars, I like cars, the tan and the beach has got to be up definitely in the top 5. And it's funny you said that because, I was just talking to my agent the other day, and he's like, how you doing? Like, I haven't seen him in a bit, and he's like, you working out, training? I said, of course. He said, how's the tan? And I said, oh, it's excellent. He's like, okay, because people are asking me, you know, you have these expectations now, and when you come to camp, you know, you got to be jacked and tan. I'm like, dude, you don't have to worry about that. Right. That's cake.
You're a free agent right now, though. Did you tell your agent, hey, how's the job search going?
Of course, yeah. We talk often. My agent, David Lapa, out in California. We've been negotiating and communicating with a bunch of teams. But you know, it's just we're in no rush. Obviously, we want to get the best opportunity. That's really what's number one on my list. You know, I want to play for a winning team, and I want to have an opportunity to play and to help. So you know, we're definitely covering our bases, and you know, we'll see. See where we end up. I know you guys will know, you know, as soon as I do.
Yes, we will. And I'm looking forward to finding out where it is that you end up. And we'll get to all the baseball stuff that's going on here in just a second here. Derek Dietrich, free agent. former Marlin, former Red. Good thing the Astros drafted you, huh?
Yeah, the Astros drafted me my first go around out of St. Ignatius in Cleveland when I was 17, and I turned it down, and I thought going to Georgia Tech would be, you know, the best for me, and it turned out it was. And but yeah, I know where this question's probably going with the Astros.
What do you mean? I'm just saying it's a good thing they drafted you, but it's a good thing you got the hell out of there. I mean, it's a good job by you.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, when they drafted me, they were in turmoil there in that organization. So
not much has changed.
Right.
Well,
yes. Yeah.
Well, they were bad. Yeah, they were really bad, but they've had good teams and they have a World Series title, and they still have that title as of right now, and we played them three times this year. It's kind of funny. You know, we had Cole, Verlander and Miley, and we beat all three in Cincinnati, and so we were feeling like on top of the world there with the Reds for a bit, but it's been a wild story. It's definitely crazy to follow, you know.
Yeah. If you played him at home, he would have got slaughtered, right? I mean,
yeah. See, it wouldn't even been a fair game, no pun intended, if we played them in Minute Maid.
As somebody that faces these crazy pitchers, how helpful would it be for you as a hitter knowing you're either getting a fastball or an off-speed pitch? Like, how beneficial is that?
Okay, well, if you went into a test and there were 10 questions on the test and they gave you have 50 answers to study, and I was like, hey, here are the 10 answers that are going to be on the test, or the 10 questions. You walked into the test, you'd be like, I think I should get 10 out of 10 and ace this thing. So I'm not saying you're going to get a hit every time or hit the ball every time, but listen, it makes it a lot easier if you know what's coming. It's already hard enough to hit, but if you know what's coming, it's going to be, you know, much easier.
So, Dietrich, let's try it this way. If you knew you get 600 at bats and you know every single pitch that's coming, what do you think you bat? What's your batting average?
I mean, I would hope to hit somewhere close to 400, but even that would be pushing it with the way these guys are these days with the fastballs and everything else. But, you know, you definitely would hit 100 points, 150, maybe 200 higher. I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but half the battle is being able to prepare and eliminate pitches and be ready for certain pitches and certain counts and all of that. So, you know, I can't give you, you know, exactly, but you're definitely going to be better off. No doubt.
That's pretty jarring though, Derek, when you consider, like, Stanzi, think about this. And I'm not saying this because, listen, the game has just evolved. The batting average not as important, but you're a .246 career hitter. You got a lot of power, but you're telling me, hey, a season full of knowing what's coming at me, I can get somewhere from .246, somewhere near 400. That's a pretty big advantage, Derek, you know?
I don't know. I guess you got to look at look at some of the top hitters for the Astros and look at their batting averages. I don't know. They definitely led the league in a lot of categories. Now, I'm sure, you know, they've got great talent there and great hitters, and you know, but I know it's helping them. Otherwise, why would they be doing it, or why would they be, you know, accused of doing it? So, you know, there's no question that it's going to make you more successful. And, it's a shame the way that I guess they were doing it. You know, there's ways of doing it. Listen, my grandfather was in it for baseball, Major League Baseball, for over 50 years. I mean, guys would get, you know, steal signs. First base coaches steal signs today. Guys steal signs at second base. We relay signs with body movements, hands, this and that. But when you take it to the next level of using cameras, using TVs, you know, using signals from outside the dugout, all these kinds of things. Now I think you're kind of, you know, crossing the line, and, you know, that's not good for the game. If you keep it within the field, on the field, in between the white lines, not outside the stadium, not out, over the fence, not in the dugout, keep it within the white lines, that's the game. That's the competitive advantage. That's being smart and being a team and a unit. But anything outside of that, I think, I don't think it's right, and I think, you know, you should be punished.
I'm glad you went there, because I'm wondering, like, you haven't heard much from many of the players. CeCe Sabathia has spoken out, and I feel like Major League Baseball, to be honest with you, they should have, before they put these, you know, these harsh penalties on these teams, and now you have managers being fired and general managers being fired, and who knows if they'll ever get jobs again. I think they should have investigated this league-wide, because it's my feeling, baseball might have put themselves in a difficult spot where they've set a precedent here, and now they have to keep firing people, because I believe this is like a league-wide thing. I'm not saying everyone's using electronics to do it, but I think stealing signals, stealing signs, it's something that's been going on in Major League Baseball forever, and just about every team right now, like today, like last year, every team in some way, shape, form, or fashion, they are trying to steal signs, trying to get a competitive edge.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I believe that 100%. And I think it goes, now this is a little bit different topic, but still beneficial and helpful and illegal, is using performance-enhancing drugs. And I'm sure there are people out there and players out there that are still using it. And the way that you combat this is you have to make the penalties so harsh, whether you're using technology to gain a competitive advantage that's illegal, or PEDs, which we obviously know are banned. You have to make the penalties so harsh that they're not going to risk, you know, the risk versus reward. It's not there. But, you know, 80 games, I see too many guys that get caught and still be rewarded sometime down the road, whether it's a bigger contract. Next year they get a contract, they're still with the team. You know, 80 games out of a $20 million salary is still $15 million more than I'm going to make next year. And they're still, they've got years and years and years after that. Yeah. So
you talking about D. Gordon, or what are you doing?
Sounds like it to me.
No. I'm not ever mentioning any names.
No, but I think it's worth it. I don't think the penalties, I don't think they're severe enough, because like in that case right there, right? Like, I think there's the risk is worth the reward. A, you don't know if you're going to get busted. If you do get busted, it's an 80 game suspension, but you've already got your money and it's guaranteed.
Yeah, it's guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed money. And you're not giving any of that back. So you lose what you're going to make for half the season that year. You're not giving anything back from last year or the year before, however how long you could have been using, or, you know, into the future. So guys aren't scared. I don't think they're scared enough. I think they're going to still try to take the risk. And I think that's what's going on, you know, with the sign stealing too. I mean, obviously the monetary fine and losing your job is one thing, but, you know, we'll see how far baseball goes with the punishments here, you know, from
what should the punishment be though, Derek? Like, I've been saying on the radio the last couple of days, they got to take away the World Series. Like, to me, if you really want to make a statement, if you really want to prevent teams from doing this again, that take away the World Series, or take a guy like Altuve and, you know, suspend him for a year, something like that. It's got to be harsh where teams will never, ever attempt to do this again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to – there. You know, you take the boss, you know, I guess the manager, obviously he's the one that, you know, had the most severe punishment and no players were punished. But then it kind of gets hairy. I mean, if I was on a team that was using the technology, I don't know. I it would be hard to say 24 other guys use it, I'm not going to use it. Or, you know, I don't know how that would work. It's such a brotherhood and guys depend on each other and count on each other that it would be tough. But then you'd be, you know, basically firing or suspending 30 guys or, right, or 25 guys. And I don't think baseball can withstand that. And so I think at least starting at the top, you know, is where they had to, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know where it goes.
Well, that and your players union is so damn strong. So it's hard to suspend the players. Mike Fiers, he broke a code, right? I mean, Derek, he broke a code. Did he not?
That was tough. I mean, I don't, you know, that was his call to do that and to be outspoken like that. You know, I don't know. I've never been on a team where I've knowingly knew guys that were cheating. And so I don't know what I would do in that situation. It would be tough. And that's a gray area. And, you know,
I mean, he should give the World Series ring back. I mean, if he's going to rat everyone out, he should give if he feels that badly about it, he should give his ring back. Right. I mean, come on.
I don't know. That's
how do you feel about this punishment? What if all the Astros, all the players, they were forced to play for the Miami Marlins?
you'd have a championship probably in Miami sooner than later then.
We'd figure out a way to blow it. I mean, Jeter would. He just would. Wow, Mike Fiers. So that, to me, that's the most fascinating thing. This story, I'm not even certain if Major League Baseball wants this story, needed this story, although we're talking baseball during the NFL playoffs, which is, I guess, any publicity is good publicity. But that, to me, that is interesting. This story does not surface, does not come to life, if Mike Fiers doesn't rat out a team that he won a World Series with. And he did it because he agreed to sign and play in their division, and he had to face those pitchers, so he called them out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Guys change teams all the time. Coaches change teams all the time. You know, you're when you play against guys or you play against coaches, you know, Perry Hill was my first base coach and infield coach in Miami for 5 years. And then he went to Seattle. And, you know, it's like he had a whole system for us. It's not just positioning and signs and everything. And you know, he knew the whole defensive scheme. So when you go play that team, you got to change everything because he's the mastermind and he knows, you know, everything about our defense. You know, no, we're not doing anything illegal. We're just being, you know, creative in where we put guys or where, how we use signs to relay, you know, first and third coverages and bunt coverages, simple stuff. But, you know, it's we're not getting into the nitty gritty of, you know, what pitch is coming and all that, obviously. But that's common in baseball. You have so much turnover and change that you're constantly having to disguise, you know, signs and signals and whatnot. So, you know, it's part of the game. And, you know, I was kind of blown away to, you know, last night I saw it. I was sitting down for dinner and saw that, you know, Alex Cora, they agreed to part ways. I don't know what that means.
That means he was fired, Derek.
Yeah. Is that the nice way of putting, we asked him to leave and
yes,
he said, do I have a choice? So, you know,
no, get the hell out of here. Yeah.
You know, baseball really didn't need that in any way, shape or form. But, you know, if it was going on, I'm not mad that they were caught and it was brought to light because this game is so hard. All I want to do, I want to get on a winning team. By the time my career is over, I want to be on a team that competes and has a chance to win the World Series. Like, I want to walk around and have a World Series ring and be able to say that I won a World Series. And so when you're already behind the eight ball, so to speak, against some teams that may be, you know, doing things illegally, then, yeah, it makes it that much harder. You know, it makes the game that much harder. It's right. Already a tough game.
Yeah. Have any players or pitchers or really players you've ever played with, have they suspected, have they thought to themselves, hey, like pitchers specifically, hey, that guy knew exactly what was coming. Has anyone ever expressed that to you?
Oh, yeah. Guys would be like, hey, they got our signs. You know, they have our signs. You know, It happens all the time. But our pitchers are always kind of paranoid at some point or another. They're like, we got to change the signs up, or they know what's coming, or, you know, it's just like they're all over that. And you know how you tell the most is not by, like, the hits or not the swings, but by the takes. Like, you'll see a guy take a nasty slider, like, boom, nice and easy, quiet, like, didn't jump at it, head didn't move. And you're like, wait a minute, like, all right, something's going on, you know. And that's when you really start to, you know, realize that, you know, you got to make a change, or they've got something on the pitcher, or the, you know, a tipping or signs. And, you know, so that's kind of, you know, what we look for.
It's pretty interesting stuff there, Dietrich. Gambling, steroids, stealing signs, which is worse for the game? Like, put them in order of which is worse. I'm trying to, like, there's, you know, the Pete Rose conversation is going to come up again and whether or not he's deserving to, like, what Pete Rose did gambling on his own team, that seems to pale in comparison to steroids and stealing signs to win a World Series, Derek.
Steroids are no doubt number one in my eyes. Sign stealing, now it depends on what we're talking about. This technology way, this way that maybe, you know, they're saying the Astros use, that's a no-no. But traditional sign stealing, I wouldn't even put that up there. So I would say gambling is probably second, and then sign stealing. And those two could be interchangeable depending on, you know, what kind of sign stealing are we talking about. But PEDs, there's no room for that. That's a no-no. Number one, numero uno.
All right. We got a few things to get to, then we'll get you out of here. We appreciate it. You want to do this for a living. When you're done playing baseball, this is what you want to do, right?
Yeah, bro. Hands down. I love, you know, talking baseball. I love talking life. I like, you know, being there and just communicating with others. And that's my favorite thing to do on and off the field. Fans, family, friends, doesn't matter. And I just, I love it. I love to, you know, to have fun off the field and you know, do great things in the community.
You're great at it. You're a great speaker, great communicator. At Stanzik, you know where I'm headed here. Like, I feel like Dietrich, perhaps maybe once a month, you're co-hosting with me. We get Yelich on, we have a little conversation and we're good, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I made some good friends in baseball and, you know, I could easily, we can bring a new guy on once a month, once a couple weeks, whatever you want to do. We can have MVPs. We can have funny guys. We can have whoever you want. I'll get Yaziel Puig on there, like I said, Big G Stanton,
yeah.
You know, Yelich, all the guys that are, you know, all over. I get Trevor Bauer's a hoot to talk to.
Yes.
I mean, you play a long time. Trevor Bauer, he's funny, man. He looks at the game a whole nother way. And I, you know what? We should get him on, and I'd love to hear what he says about the Houston Astros science stealing. Because, he's got some beef with those boys. So, you know what? And I haven't talked to him about it. That would be a good one to get him on and hear what his opinion on it, because I'm sure it would be interesting.
I mean, forget the monthly stands. Like, I'll do it every week. What do you think?
Next week, I'm in.
Next week, me, you, and Bauer? What do you think?
Yeah. Let me. I'll reach out to him. I'll tell him we want to do a little something with Stu Gotts, and I'm sure he would be happy to. And that's awesome, because, you know, you meet so many guys when you're playing over a course of 7-8 years, you know, 10 years professionally. And, everyone's got different perspectives. Everyone's got different experiences. And, you know, every year is different. Every season is different. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of cool stories, a lot of crazy stories, a lot of cool stories. And, you know, and that's how people can, you know, relate and just get to know guys and get to know the game more.
Stanzik, you just texted me something. I don't know what it means. What happened there? Oh, Stanzik wants to ask you, your girlfriend. She won a gold medal. Is that where you wanted to go, Stanzik?
Yeah, I'm blown away, dude. How jealous are you of your girlfriend?
Hey, my girlfriend's a rock star, and Monica Puig, she's a 2016 gold medal winner in the Rio Olympics in women's tennis for the beautiful country of Puerto Rico. She's the first gold medal winner in the country's history. And we actually met at Marlins Park about a week after she won the gold medal. They invited her to throw out the first pitch. It's kind of a cool little story. And we met that day. I had asked to take a quick photo with her.
Yeah, you did.
I was just I was impressed. You know, usually you get someone throws out a first pitch, you're like, I'm getting ready for the game, stretching, and you really don't pay any attention. But then they're like, you know, Olympic gold medalist. So, you know, being an athlete, and I would have loved to have been able to compete in the Olympics, you know, you have that respect for just that accomplishment. So then, you know, I looked over and then I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
the person normally throwing out first pitches is a guy like me, like a local radio host,
or like a kid, a 5-year-old.
it's tough in Miami. But so I looked over and I was like, wait a minute. So I called our photographer Dennis over and I said, hey, here's the plan. Comes off the field, I'm going to ask to take a photo with her. So I need you to be waiting right here. So sure enough, she comes off the field. I said, hi, my name's Derek. Would you take a photo with me? Nice to meet you. And so we just exchanged. We had the photo. We exchanged the photo via Instagram. We talked briefly, a few messages here and there for about 3 months. And then, I don't know, out of nowhere one day, we just kind of texted. And then from that day on, we kind of built our relationship. She was out playing in Dubai and overseas for about a month, and we hadn't even seen each other for four months or so, and basically started dating over FaceTime and text and calls, and then been dating since February of 2018, so almost 3 years now.
Diedrich, I got to tell you, man, the photograph, how do you play?
Unbelievable.
It's just such a good move by you. Yeah. I mean, you probably should have been thinking about the baseball game coming up. But listen, I would do the same thing. I got to be honest with you. I mean,
That was one of my better moves I've made on the baseball field. That one, you know, having my jersey ripped off, 3-run home run game. That one's up there for, you know, best things I've done on the baseball field. Smart.
Listen, you're a 246 hitter, but in terms of landing dates on the baseball field, you're batting 1,000. Yeah.
Batting 1,000. I've not gotten out. The only thing is, I don't know if I'll have another chance. I might just stay at 1,000. We'll see.
Wow. It's getting that serious, huh?
Nah, just teasing, guys. I hope she's not listening. I'm just... But it's all good. It's all good. You know, it's a funny one.
Just got to get you a new contract, get a ring, and make it happen. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Get a World Series ring, you mean, right?
Of course.
World Series ring?
Of course, yeah.
Okay,
right,
good.
Yeah, non-tainted one, preferably. Yeah,
yeah, that's the ring I'm looking for, the World Series ring.
What's the key to a good tan? Give us three keys to a good tan, the perfect tan. You have the perfect tan. Give us the keys.
All right. Well, depending on how easily you burn or not burn, I would probably say start with the number 8 tanning oil. You want the oil, the spray oil. No, you know, sunscreen. That's, you don't need that. Right. Not here. It's all good.
What if I told you I'm half Irish?
Yeah. Well, then you stay out of the sun. You've got no chance.
I'm screwed. Yeah, I thought so.
You got no. You better have a good personality because you're not getting a tan that anyone can appreciate. Right. Yeah, but start with the 8 tanning oil, and then work yourself into the 4. And then if you're really feeling dangerous, I'd go straight to the red top. We call it the red top around town.
That's
the zero. That's the zero. There's no protection whatsoever in that. It's straight burn your skin oil. It's like becoming a popcorn.
No, I know exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about, Stanzik. It's like sitting on the sun.
Oh man,
that's what it is.
Red top. Hey, red top. The red top. When we're out on the beach, you know, or one of the cabanas on South Beach, it's like who's got the red top? And that's when you know you're coming home with a nice bronze tan.
Juggling. How? Yeah. You love juggling. It's a hobby. He juggles. Stanzik, you didn't know this about DJ?
No.
He's a juggler. Like, how did that come about?
I was about 10 years old. There was a kid a couple houses down in my neighborhood in Parma, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland, and 2 years older than me. And he used to skateboard and BMX and all these things. And I used to, you know, always be interested and pick up different stuff. And, you know, one day I saw him juggling and I was like very intrigued. And so I was like 10 and I started practicing juggling. And, you know, my parents like saw me practicing and, you know, they're like, well, this is good for your hand eye coordination there. So they kind of like encouraged it. And so I juggled for a couple of years. It got pretty good. And then when I got to high school at St. Ignatius, they had a circus company and it was, you know, it was a group. You know, you would go and practice juggling and magic, and then you would perform, you know, volunteer shows at, you know, like children's hospitals, nursing homes, you know, community events. And, you know, I just really enjoyed it and just kept doing it throughout high school. Had a chance to do it when I was 16 or 17 at the Aflac All-American game at one of the biggest children's hospitals in San Diego. And I've kind of juggled all over. I've done it at AA All-Star games. I've done it on Major League Baseball fields. You know, just something I've always done. I have crazy props. We call them props, the things that you juggle, and obviously baseballs or bean bags. But, you know, before I was a major leaguer and it was making a lot of money, I was juggling machetes. I've juggled torches, flaming balls.
What?
You name it. I've juggled it, but I'm a little smarter now and I've got too much to lose. I still have all 10 fingers, so.
I got to be honest, I would have believed gigolo before juggler.
Hey, that's pretty good. Juggling gigolo.
Stupidity.
That's it. That's good.
Last thing, you mentioned at the start of this interview that you love cars. The dream car for Derek Dietrich is?
I have it right now, I think. I have a fully done up Audi R8, and I love this thing. It's my first supercar I ever bought, and so it's dear to me. I mean, you know, I came from a very, you know, humble background. And so when I was able to, you know, purchase something like that for myself, something I'll always keep and something I'll, you know, always cherish. So, you know, I'm sure there will come cars that I want to, you know, drive and buy and own. But this Audi R8, it's special to me because it's my first ever, you know, real sports car.
Well, we're grateful. We're grateful to you for carving out the time for us, man. It's been great. Not good, great. Dietrich, you're going to be good at this, and we're going to find out more about how good you're going to be next week when me, you, and Bauer get together. Okay.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'll reach out to him now, and let's get it rolling for next week.
Stupidity, Stanzik. I told you. There is more than meets the eye with Derek Dietrich. What meets your eye is his incredible looks, his shirtless body, and his incredible tan. But there is some stuff underneath there, huh?
Yeah, I thought I was getting total jock meathead, and who knew? Way smarter than I expected.
Why'd you think that? I mean,
look at the guy. He walks around Miami shirt. He went into your radio studio shirtless.
In fairness to him, he was hanging out by the Clevelander pool, and he didn't bring a shirt because he brings a shirt to the Clevelander, and we dragged him into our studio. He didn't have a shirt to put on, though. That's the beauty.
Yeah, he told us he wears a shirt for like an hour a day.
Right.
But so I didn't think there'd be that much beyond that surface.
Yeah, but you can hear it, right? He's thoughtful, he's interesting, and he certainly does a lot in the way of charity. He spends a lot of time trying to make kids feel better, and I think that's awesome, you know?
Well, he should make me feel better. Join the Blue Jays.
join the Blue.
He used to help.
Really?
Why not?
I mean, listen, I know we just praised him, but the guy's a 246 career hitter. Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
you want him on the Blue?
We got, actually, no, yeah, we got Biggio's
baseball
kid.
Series,
good,
but he can
good.
Mash, Danzig. That's it.
And we're good. We're good.
you don't want him?
Nah, we don't need him.
What's the matter with you?
We'll finish in fourth place on our own. We'll be fine.
And he said he wanted to win a World Series ring. He ain't doing it there.
Stay away.
Listen, Yankee, sign him. All right, that was fun, Stanzik. That was a fun episode. Mike Golic Jr. I cannot believe we taped that on Tuesday. I heard Golic on the radio the next day. I mean, doing the morning show.
And he looked terrible.
I saw right through.
Oh, my God, again. He needs a week off.
He really does. He does. He needs a week off. You're right. I need a week off. Going to Mexico, playing in the sand, Dead and Company. I'll have stories next week when I get back, Stanzik.
We may never hear from you again.
What I won't have is George R. R. Martin. But maybe Bill Walton. Stupidity!